During this hour, we will. I'll give some instruction. Some instruction on meditation, and then we'll sit for a while. And after the sitting, there'll be a little time for questions and Q&A or sharing of your experience. And then I'll give a little bit of walking meditation, and we'll have a walking period at 9:45. We have a sound system, a speaker system to, if anybody has trouble hearing. So I'm going to try to remember to speak loudly. Both Jean and I find it preferable not to use the speaker system if we can avoid it, because there's always this little, electronic buzz. But if either of us kind of drifts into a quiet voice, especially during a guided meditation, I think I tend to do that. Please just give a little signal so that we know that that you're having trouble hearing. I gave a bit of instruction last night, a guiding into the sitting, and that was a guiding on mindfulness with breathing. So I'm going to repeat that again, and then maybe take it a little bit farther, and then we'll sit. And then, as I said, if you have questions, you can bring them up after the sitting. So mindfulness, I know that some of you are new to meditation, so I'll just offer this kind of basic foundational instruction. Mindfulness is a word that it's actually the way it's used in teaching today, it includes a number of different elements of meditation that are, and it kind of groups them together under the word mindfulness. So I'll just, talk about it in that way, that mindfulness is a way of gathering our attention. So it's a training of the mind, and we're gathering our attention to our present moment experience. So, which means that we're collecting the mind from habitual patterns of thinking and imagining and talking to ourselves, which is quite normal. So if you're new on this path and you think that you're the only one whose mind is just kind of going on and keeps drifting away every time you try to bring it back to the breath, it's actually that's the normal experience. And so we bring patience and we bring commitment to that. To just beginning again. So mindfulness is that present moment attention, and we're bringing it to, we train the mind by bringing it to our sensory experience. So seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, and in Buddhism, the teaching is that the mind is also a sense, one of the senses, the sixth sense, the thinking mind. So we're becoming aware of what we're seeing, we're touching, we're hearing, and so on. And And we choose, in training the mind in sitting meditation practice, we choose a particular object of meditation, which the most common one that's taught is the breath. So an object of meditation, it's an object is used here is not a thing, but a focus. So the focus for our attention can be the breath. So I'll just add that occasionally people find it hard to work with the breath, and that, you know, it could be because there's some issue around breathing, asthma or something like that. It could be that it's just very challenging to bring the attention right into the body, which is what the breath requires. So sometimes people also can focus on sound, just how sounds come and go, and just having a kind of a listening attitude. And sound can be the object of meditation. Or the touch sensation of the body, just sitting on the chair or the hands resting on the knees. So these are other ways that the attention can be brought to present moment experience. So they're all present moment experiences. The breath is one of the objects that the Buddha taught most often, and it has many advantages because it's always there. There's always an in breath or an out breath happening. When the mind drifts, we can come back to the breath very easily, and it also reflects back to us our states of mind. So we might notice that we're holding our breath. We might notice that the breath is very kind of constricted, and so that can, you know, make us aware that there's something happening in the mind which is creating tension. The breath can be used to calm the body and calm the mind. So just feeling an in-breath, feeling an out-breath, letting go of tension and thoughts on the out-breath can be a skillful way to just, you know, let go of what's preoccupying us and just arrive in our experience, arrive in our body in the present moment. So there's a whole discourse on on mindfulness. Excuse me. There's a whole discourse on mindfulness with breathing, and it begins by simply instructing to be aware of the quality of the breath. So to notice if your breath is, maybe your breath is very shallow, or maybe it's very deep, and not to judge it or not to fix the breath or try to make yourself breathe in some way which is which you might feel is, you know, the right way, because there is no right or wrong way to breathe. As long as breathing is happening, we're in good shape. So just noticing the quality of the breath and actually being mindful of the breath, and mindfulness is remember not judging, not fixing, not trying to push things away or hold on to them. Just being mindful of the breath actually does have an effect on the breath. And so if the breath, you know, feels tense or tight, well, it just might relax a little bit, because mindfulness has that quality of non-grasping, not holding. And tension, tightening around the breath, is a form of holding. So, but just bringing mindfulness to the sensation of the breath. So when we're mindful of breathing, we're not imagining the breath, or visualizing the breath. We're just in a very simple and ordinary way, we're aware of it, we're feeling it, noticing where we feel it. So is it in the nostrils? Is it in the chest, in the belly? Maybe you can check in right now and notice, where do you feel the breath most easily? So by connecting our attention to breathing, what we're giving our mind an opportunity to rest in something that's very simple, kind of neutral. Like when I say neutral, I mean it's not super exciting. The breath, we don't get really excited about, wow, that was the best breath I've ever had in my life. It's kind of neutral that way, and usually, it's not that unpleasant either. Breathing is, it's not something that we would be likely to kind of want to grasp or push away. It's in that neutral zone, where it's just there, and it's and we can be with it, and it doesn't pull the mind one way or another. And so in resting in that very simple and essential experience of breathing, it gives the mind something to connect with, and we can collect our attention. So we gather our attention around just feeling the breath. When we first begin the practice, it can feel like there's just a little bit of attention on the breath, and it can feel like a lot of background chatter, in the mind is just chattering away in the background, and there's just a kind of a little connection to the breath that it may feel weak, and so the mind might slip off. I think of it a little bit like, if you're in a noisy cafe and you're sitting and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody that you really want to talk to, you're really interested. But there's so much noise going on that, it's really hard to focus. But as you connect with that person and as you get really interested, somehow your attention collects and the background chatter doesn't interfere. The noises of the cooking in the kitchen, pots and pans and other people talking and so on, and the traffic on the street, just kind of falls away. And in that way, the breath too, we can get really interested in the breath and really connected, and it can actually become something that we love, and it can bring joy just to collect our attention and to be interested and connected to a single in-breath and out-breath. And why it brings joy is that it's a kind of relief to let go of all that chatter in the mind, all the chatter about what we don't want, and all the chatter about what we want, and all the feelings that we feel in the body about what we like and what we don't like. So it can be a kind of a relief. An absorption in the breath, and a kind of a joy can arise in that. So that's it's a progression, and that's something which is a development. of the mind. It's a training of the mind. And the reason why that's a good thing to develop is that it gives us some clarity around seeing actually what's coming up as we live our lives. So when we have some stability, some stillness, some capacity to just be with what's coming up in our present moment experience, then that gives us the possibility of practicing with it in a way which helps us to see the true nature of the body and the mind. And in seeing the true nature, what I mean when I say that, what I mean is that we can begin to see that actually these mental states that we can identify with so strongly, maybe anxiety or feeling not good enough or feeling resentment or anger or wanting, always feeling like I need more, I need more. These are painful states of mind. And when we develop the stability to actually bring our attention to them, we begin to recognize that they're just moving through us. You know, we don't need to be... it's a bit like a storm system moving through. You know, we can give it space. We can be with our experience in a way that feels more spacious, more peaceful, more equanimous, more accepting. We don't have to always be pushing away. You know, if anger arises or wanting, grasping, we don't need to feel we have to get rid of it. Like when we begin to recognize that there's space, there's stillness, it can move through us without us feeling threatened and without us kind of getting hooked, feeling identified with it. So this is kind of giving a kind of direction. You know, this is where just being with the breath and stabilizing the mind in present moment and noticing a bit of space, a bit of stability, this is where it goes. And really, there's an attitude that we bring to it, even at the very beginning, even at our first sitting. It's not an attitude of striving or I've got to do this, I've got to accomplish this, but it's really an attitude of kindness and compassion, like just okay, I'm just going to be present here, be present with this breath. And allow the mind to rest. Allow the mind to come to a kind of a rest in the simplicity of a single breath. So it's, you know, it can feel like, oh, is this all there is? Just, you know, feeling my breath? Can it be really so simple? It doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't mean that it's easy, you know, that as we do it, we see that, oh, these habits of the mind are very strong, and that's, you know, that's okay. We begin to really notice what pulls us away. We begin to develop a deeper self-awareness of what are these habits of mind that are so deeply rooted and kind of, you know, pull us away from being present in our lives. And form can sometimes distort our experience of what's happening in this moment. So let's practice for a little while, and then we'll have some time for questions and comments. So, taking your seat, finding that sense of stability and balance and ease in the body. And bringing that energy to the spine, lifting from the base of the spine through the crown of the head. And that upward energy of the back expresses our commitment to practice, our commitment to begin again. Every time the mind drifts off, and then there's that moment of waking up, of recognizing, oh, there's the mind caught up in a story. Taking a very brief moment, not to trace back where did I get caught up, but just what's the mind caught up in at this moment? Is it a memory? Is it a drama, an imagined drama? Is it a feeling? Sadness, anger, grief, just maybe naming it, and then coming back and resting in the breath, abiding in the breath. You might feel your breath in a particular place in the body. Maybe in your chest, rising and falling, or the abdomen, or your nostrils. You might feel the breath as a whole body experience. Your whole body inflating with each in-breath. And you might notice how that rhythm of breath is experienced. As you breathe in, maybe there's pressure. Maybe there's pressure in your seat, right where you're sitting, your buttocks pressing just subtly more against the cushion or the chair. Your chest and your back expanding. And as you breathe out, your body relaxing, deflating. So you might feel the whole breath in the whole body in that way. You might feel the breath as it moves from the nostrils down through the windpipe to the chest and the lungs. Breathing in and breathing out. You might feel it even more precisely in a particular place. So just explore that. Bring an interest and a curiosity to how you experience the breath and where you experience it. What are the different ways of experiencing it? And what the texture of the breath is. Does it feel smooth or rough? Does it feel tight or relaxed? Without judging, just getting to know what the breath is like in your body. Notice what happens in the mind when you release your posture. As you released your posture, the bell rings, a very, very simple practice to keep continuity is as the bell rings and you begin to move and you shift your posture, just stay connected to the breathing rather than just kind of dispersing, letting the mind just let go. Does anybody have any questions or any comment about what you experienced in the practice?
I just wanted to call it optimism. We were calling out things yesterday. I wanted to call it optimism.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
I would say that I struggle a lot with stillness in the body. And kind of like, I get into this point where I'm sort of like trying to hyper focus and not move, and it feels hard to focus on the breath and sort of focus on not moving simultaneously. And I don't know if you have any.
I guess what comes to mind is a sense of ease and relaxing into the posture. It's a kind of a tricky balance that we're developing. It's a cultivation. It's something we develop because we're wanting to be attentive, like awake, alert, but not tense. And we're wanting to be relaxed, but not zoned out. So, you know, we usually think about relaxing like, you know, catch potato kind of, you know, just flaking out, you know, letting the mind go. But this is that balance of, you know, the body relaxing and yet the mind is awake. So it's a kind of, one image that is sometimes used is like a cat, you know, watching something. You know, like the cat is really relaxed and at the same time really focused. Not particularly mindful, but yeah. One thing that perhaps would be helpful would be in beginning meditation practice to really bring your attention through the body. Have you ever done something like a body scan? And just really noticing where there's tightness and holding in the body. So, you could begin with your feet, or you could begin with your head. Often we hold a lot of tension in the face and the jaw. You know, even kind of bringing our attention into the brain and, you know, feeling, because we can feel like the skull is tight, the throat. Often there's a lot of tension in the chest, you know. So just using the breath, we can just slowly go through the body, breathing in, noticing if there's tension. And breathing out, just inviting that tension to let go a little bit. Might not let go all the way, but just, you know, open up a little bit, soften. So that can be a kind of a way of entering into a sitting. So it's like so many of these questions, I think it's probably something that many people experience.
Want to take the next one, too?
Sure.
I notice irritation and frustration and patterns of thinking that I know caused me suffering. So I was trying to send myself compassion. Mm-hmm. Telling myself I'm trying the best that I can with what I have is more. Hard work.
Say that again.
Hard work.
Hard work. Mm-hmm. Hard work to offer compassion or
I think the entire.
So did everyone hear? Can you say your name again?
I'm Sherilyn.
Sherilyn. Okay. Did everyone hear what
she?
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. That. You know, when I was thinking about this with the last question too, that when, I mean, to actually appreciate one's effort, really, I mean, it's a lot to just make this commitment to sit a retreat, to sit even for one meditation session, never mind for several days. So that wisdom, that intuitive wisdom that says bring in compassion, because we could call it noble effort, you know, the noble effort to pay attention, just to pay attention in the way that, you know, these instructions are very explicit, and so you know, we want to get the most maybe out of our retreat, so we take on the instructions and we bring our attention, you know, to what's happening, and then sometimes what we see is just this barrage of, as you were saying, you know, irritation or mental habits, or, you know, it can feel like, it just can feel like almost like an assault. I mean, it actually isn't an assault. We're just seeing our minds, but it can feel overwhelming. So to actually bring that compassion is in Buddhist teachings often called like skillful means. I know that sounds a little technical, but it is actually very skillful, because what often happens, as Daryl was saying, in terms of the suffering in our minds, is that we get lost in our experience and then think somehow we're creating this problem, or it's us, or, you know, we have to get out of it even, or we have to get out of the pain in the body, or we have to get rid of the sleepiness. And, you know, that's where a lot is, they call it the second arrow, where a lot of that extra suffering, if you will, comes in. And why would we call it extra suffering? Because we're trying to make something that is not be. So actually, when the heart feels the pain, just to bring in this quality of care for this living being is very very powerful. And even if you can feel just a little bit of it, some people say, I have a really hard time with compassion. I'll talk about that more this afternoon. It's just to bring, even to let it touch, just for a second, is a powerful energy away from the negating, judging, critical mind that tends to be habituated for most of us. I mean, I probably could say all of us, but we'll do a survey later. Is that helpful?
Yeah. So this is more worried that maybe I'm doing things wrong. So when something starts to come up for me, you know, and it feels unskillful or unhealthy or whatever, I sort of go towards it with metta and just lightness. But then I think, oh, am I just pushing it away? And is, you know, is that a good approach? I mean, because what I find is then it kind of melts away. But then I don't know, but then I also, I think, well, maybe I should look at it more, because maybe there's more in there that I'm missing, and, you know, so.
There are different approaches, and I, you know, what it's not that one is wrong and one is right. I think that it's like anything that we develop a skill in. You know, the more we understand about how to practice and what are the different possibilities of practice, the more it just kind of, we kind of respond with that intuitive wisdom that Jean just mentioned in a way that feels appropriate. So, so sometimes, you know, when something comes up which feels painful, you know, so we call it unskillful, I think, but the essence of it is that it's painful. It's painful to feel irritation. It's painful to feel wanting. It's painful to feel self-judgment. So these are painful experiences, and so so you know, one approach might be to just turn toward it, to turn toward it with a courageous and open heart, and know it for what it is. You know, this is body sensations, emotions coming through my body. These are thoughts. Without kind of attaching to it, identifying with it, you know, and really just recognizing that it's passing through, that it's something that I'm feeling in the moment, and it's passing through, and in a way becoming intimate with it, and it's not an easy thing to do, because in becoming intimate with it, we feel its unpleasant nature, whatever it may be, and yet when we do that, when we take that that movement of turning toward, rather than being at the effect of, being driven by whatever's coming up in us, we actually, we get to know the nature. We get to really, we change our relationship with that experience. So we're not at the effect of it. We're in a space within which it moves. Turning toward it and bringing metta is, it's not that it's a totally different approach, but it's slightly different, because what we're doing is, it's like the expression that's used is we're bringing an antidote. So we may feel that this feels like, you know, a kind of a dis-ease, and that metta is an antidote, you know, loving kindness. Metta is a Pali word, means loving kindness, and so that kind of, you know, it shifts the energy. That, you know, Joseph Goldstein used the example. It's like we may be like, it's like watching TV, and you know, we're on this terrible channel with all this violence going on, and then, you know, we kind of, it's like, oh, this is terrible, and then, oh, I can change the channel. Just change the channel, turn on the metta channel. So I think that both are important in our practice, to know that, yeah, I can shift my energy around this. I can bring in, I can call in compassion. I can call in loving kindness, and also to know, I can investigate. I can, with mindfulness, I can investigate the nature of what is this state of mind, this habit, this memory which holds so much pain for me, you know, perhaps. Memories can sometimes be something that we need also support to work with when they're very, when we've been deeply wounded. Sometimes it's good to get some loving support from somebody, skillful, trained. But to know that we can kind of be with these experiences of body and mind, and that, you know, what's actually happening is happening in the present moment. It's a thought, it's an emotion, it's a feeling. So, and that's, you know, that we have, that we develop skills of mindfulness and investigation and wisdom to be with our experience as it is. So both. Yeah. So thank you for those wonderful questions. So so we're going to do a bit of walking meditation now. So some of you have done walking meditation before, and so just feel free to go and begin, and then if you haven't done walking meditation, then please you can stay back and I'll give some instruction.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.